17 minutes away from 4 o'clock, Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bulbarch and Matt Douglas with you until 6 tonight. For those that haven't heard, the Indians have been postponed this evening. Their game against the Braves has been washed away. They'll make it up as part of a traditional doubleheader tomorrow. Game one will begin at 4:10, and then they'll get that second game going about a half hour after the final out is recorded in game one of the Twin Bill down at Progressive Field. Time for us to head to the hotline as we bring in our very first guest of today's show. He's a regular here on Fridays, Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio. Adam, as always, my friend, we appreciate the time. How are you today?
Good, Andy. Matt, how's it going today, boys?
Doing well. Yeah, we're, you know, as well as you can be doing on a rainy Friday afternoon. And a lot of things I want to talk to you about. Last week, you know, we talked about, from a handicapping perspective, the best ways to attack the Masters. It turned into must-see TV. And then, of course, at the end of the tournament, and it's spilling into the beginning of the week, there was the story that came out about a gentleman who bet $85,000 on Tiger to win the Masters, and he won nearly $1.25 million. I mean, that's really impressive. See, I've got to get your take on the handicapping perspective. You think this guy just kind of had some dumb luck here? Or do you think there's something else that could have gone into that? I mean, for an $85,000 bet, and especially from a guy that was $25,000 in debt two months prior to making this bet.
Yeah, the whole story kind of smells funny to me. I mean, a lot of people don't have $85,000 liquid to put on a future when you're $25,000 in debt just a little bit before that. Sports books are not going to let you bet that on credit or anything like that. So it's a really weird story. There seem to be some undertones to it out there in the sports gambling community that kind of wonder what's going on here with this. But, I mean, as far as the bet itself goes, you know, Tiger's been in decent form, I guess. I mean, I know a lot of people were all over Tiger, and I know you want to follow up with that here in a second. But, I mean, for this guy in particular, there's something strange going on here. I don't know if it was staked by a bunch of people or somebody else looking to limit their exposure on a different bet. It's a weird kind of thing, but it looks like dumb luck to me. No one knows who this guy is, and you know, obviously he's probably not great with money, being $25,000 in debt before that.
Well, and that's kind of what Matt and I had assumed earlier in the week, you know, not really knowing a whole lot about this guy, but we looked into this and thought, boy, oh boy, to be $25,000 in debt. And then 2 months later, you know what? It would be a great idea to lay $85,000 on Tiger Woods winning the Masters. And, you know, this particular sports book where he ended up coming away with just over $1 million wasn't the only one to kind of take a bath. That was one of the stories that really kind of emerged at the beginning of the week as well, that so many sports books took a bath on Tiger winning. Were you surprised at all by that?
Not really. I mean, Tiger's one of those guys that, you know, no matter what, people are going to bet on him. Whether they do it for novelty purposes, nostalgia purposes, or simply because they thought he had a good chance to win, he's always going to take a lot of money. His odds are never where they should be because the sports books know they don't have to offer really fair odds on him to get money on him. It's great for Tiger. It's obviously great for the game of golf. But, you know, one of the things that we've seen at Augusta, I mean, you look at the guys who have, you know, won the Masters, and it's usually a name brand kind of guy, but it's a guy that knows the course extremely well. There's a reason Tiger's got so many. Phil, Bubba Watson, you know, these guys just know how to play that course. And it's one of the major courses where I think that, you know, even if you don't hit it the farthest, even if you're not the greatest putter, even if you're not the greatest guy in approach, if you know where to put the ball and you can do it, you've got a shot. And Tiger obviously played that to perfection. So not really a big surprise, because every time he tees it up, people are going to bet on him.
We're talking with Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio here on Bullseye on the afternoon. All right, now that we've finally gotten the NFL schedule squared away, even though they were hoping to release it all at 8 o'clock on Wednesday, it, well, kind of sort of leaked, and then the leak turned into a flood, it seemed like, throughout the day on Wednesday, as more and more teams were willing to release their schedules before the 8 o'clock deadline. Now we could take a look and predict who might win games that won't take place for another 5 months at least. But what are some of the early numbers you're seeing on the over-under on Browns wins this season?
Yeah, it'll be amazing. After the NFL draft on Thursday, we're going to see probably lines for the first 16 weeks worth of NFL games. CG Technology out in Vegas did this last year. I presume they'll do it again this year if they haven't already. The Browns season win total right now at 9 with a little bit of extra juice on the over. So basically minus 115 on the over, minus 120 at some places. again, would need 120 to win 100. But 9 is the consensus number that's out there. And, you know, what happens with these, and it's very important for people to understand how these numbers come to being, is that you come up with a spread for each individual game, and the spread correlates to the implied probability of that team winning that game. So, for example, the Browns are a 4.5-point favorite in Week 1 against Tennessee. That equates to 0.63 expected wins based on what the spread is telling you. So for that game, if you're putting together your own season win total number for the Browns, it'd be worth 0.63 wins. The next week, they're on the road at the Jets for Monday Night Football. Right now, they're a 2.5-point favorite in that game. That correlates to a 0.54% win, or a 54% win probability, so 0.54 wins. So that's how they come up with these numbers. They add up all the expected number of wins based on the spread, then put out a number. So right now, I would say most people probably have the Browns anywhere from maybe 8.5 wins to 9.5 wins in their projections. And this is a team that has a lot of helium coming into the season in the betting market.
A ton. I mean, an absolute ton of helium coming into the season. There's no question about that. That's why, boy, I know this is almost kind of sacrilege in these parts to say this, but I'd almost think about betting the under, because you wonder if this team might have some issues early in the season, because they're playing a fairly tough schedule that's a little bit front-loaded. You know, I think on the back end of it, especially as you get into December, you know, it might get a little bit easier, but again, that's the beauty of the NFL. I mean, you never know what teams are going to look like from one year to the next. I'd almost think about betting the under here, just because I think so many people, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here, I would guess, though, that early on, there's a lot of public money on the over, no?
There's a lot of money on the Browns to win the Super Bowl, and right now, a lot of public bettors aren't going to tie their money up with these season win total bets. Some sharp guys out there that love to grab numbers in Vegas will. I think you're right to look to bet the under. I think you wait and do that a little bit closer to the season, when maybe it's 9.5 or something like that. Because, I mean, look, you know, the Browns have, what, 4 primetime games, including the Thursday night game against Pittsburgh. They've got Baker Mayfield. Everybody's rooting for this team. But as you mentioned, early in the season, you know, Monday night football game against the Jets, short week to prepare for the Rams at home, who are a very, very good team. On the road at Baltimore is a physical game. Then you fly cross-country, play San Francisco on Monday Night Football, come back, and on a short week, play a Seattle team that's usually very physical. So up until the bye week, the Browns are actually in a pretty difficult scheduling spot for the most part, week in and week out. Then after the bye, at New England, and then a back-to-back road trip where you go to Denver and play in the altitude, the schedule makers did not do them any favors through the first 9 weeks of the season.
All right, well, we're going to turn our attention now to some baseball games. As much fun as it can be to talk about the NFL and games that might not take place for another 5 months, we'll talk about some games that will be played a little bit later on today. We were hoping to talk to you about the Tribe game, but that game, of course, has been rained out. They'll make it up as part of a doubleheader tomorrow. Wait, one of the things I love about reading your Major League Baseball betting previews is that there are some really cool descriptions as to what happened the night before, and I was wildly entertained by what I read today. I know the Mariners kind of drove you nuts last night. Well, which games do you like on the MLB slate tonight?
Oh, the Mariners. I'm so glad I slept through that one, Andy. I would have a remote in my drywall somewhere, or it would be smashed to pieces or something like that. Nothing has come easy for me here so far this baseball season, so definitely take these with a grain of salt. But, you know, a couple of games I do like tonight. Tampa Bay takes on Boston, and Boston is a team that it's not just the pitching that's been a problem, and I don't think that people realize just how slow of a start this offense is off to. Now, they will get better. They're having a lot of bad luck results on high-velocity contact, but Tampa Bay is one of the best teams in baseball at limiting exit velocity from the opposition. So I think this is a very tough matchup for a Boston offense that's struggling. You know, they'll get Ryan Stanek in the opener role, and then Ryan Yarbrough will probably pitch after him. But I like Tampa Bay tonight. And then also Seattle again. I must be a glutton for punishment, because I'm looking at the Mariners again tonight, but looking more at them from a first five inning standpoint to be winning after the fifth inning is over. I like their pitching matchup tonight with Marco Gonzalez against the Angels. I don't like Felix Pena against Seattle. So Seattle for the first five, and Tampa Bay are a couple of plays I like for tonight.
And we had mentioned we wanted to talk to you about the Tribe just a little bit here. I know that kind of gets skewed a bit, because now this gets pushed into tomorrow, and there are a lot of elements at play here. you know, we haven't heard much from either manager as to how much or if at all they're going to change the pitching rotation. It seems as though Corey Kluber's going to pitch game one for the Tribe, and then Trevor Bauer would get the ball in game two. But again, nothing has been determined for sure. Then you also factor into the equation whether Frankie Lindor is or isn't in the starting lineup tomorrow. That's being discussed quite a bit right now. All signs pointing to him being activated, but again, nothing definitive at this point. And you have to imagine that if he does play tomorrow, he's probably playing in game one of the doubleheader. I don't see why they would play him in both just yet. There's so many factors to consider for this twin bill tomorrow, which is probably a good reason why this thing gets tabled. But looking at all those elements at play here, it probably makes one of those games at least kind of fascinating from a handicapping perspective, doesn't it?
I think the entire doubleheader is pretty interesting, and hopefully they can get it in. I mean, the forecast is a little bit iffy for tomorrow, too. It's so intriguing because the Indians are in a much better spot now with a doubleheader tomorrow, because Julio Teheran is a guy that struggles to work deep into ball games, has a pretty high walk rate usually. The wind blowing in would help him if that's the situation again tomorrow like it is today. But Touki Toussaint was supposed to start tonight. And Toussaint is a guy that, you know, he's only thrown, I think, 9 innings since spring training. And he's a guy that's not always sharp. He has some control issues. So Atlanta's in a really weird spot tomorrow where they've got two starters who may not work all that deep into the game. That's certainly something that the Indians have in their favor with Kluber and Bauer. But with Corey Kluber, there are a lot of concerning things right now. You know, his velocity is down, command is down, control is down. He walked 5 guys in the start for the first time in his career in that start there against Kansas City the other day. The spin rates are down on his pitches, which is usually an indicator of an injury or at the very least some kind of mechanical flaw. So I'm really worried about Corey Kluber right now, especially with Mike Clevinger on the shelf. At least Carlos Carrasco was good the other day, and that kind of gives me some peace of mind. But really worried about Kluber going forward here, and we'll see what he does against a pretty talented Atlanta lineup tomorrow.
Well, the walk rate, and correct me if I'm wrong here, I believe I saw this earlier today, the Braves have the second highest walk rate, I believe, in all of Major League Baseball. And with the Indians, as selective as they have been this year, you'd like to think that that would certainly be in their favor huge going into the weekend against the Braves, but we shall see. Adam, as always, my friend, we tremendously appreciate the time. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks, Adam, again. Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon.